Jeff Poehler Show on FM Talk 106.5. Good Monday morning to you. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, State Representative Susan Dubose from Shelby County. Also, at 11 o'clock hour, the Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth and House Majority Leader Scott Stadhagen. We'll talk a little a softball game set for Wednesday night. And then, as we do every Monday, for whatever reason, we'll hear from Dell Jackson, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News. But here with us now, always, every other Monday, good to hear from my state lawmaker, Jennifer Fiddler. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you doing? Happy Mardi Gras.
Yeah, happy Mardi Gras. It's the rush to Fat Tuesday.
Yeah.
I guess it's really the rush to Ash Wednesday, if you really do the proper analysis. But well, how's the season been for you?
Oh, it's been good. I attended a parade. I've attended several parades, and I actually attended a ball, the first inaugural ball over in Representative Givens' district in Locksley over the weekend, and I'll plan on attending tonight's parade.
Yeah, we'll get downtown. I mean, down to Fairhope downtown tomorrow. Mobile, gotta do Fat Tuesday in Mobile, right?
Well, you have the Comet Cowboys, and you get to see the King and the Queen, which is always some of my favorite floats, and see the whole court. So you got to do Mardi Gras in downtown Mobile on Fat Tuesday.
Unfortunately for you, as it's been true the last few, I guess, with session.
It's different. I haven't been able to. It's been like, I was invited, of course, to the ball tonight, but I'm probably not going to be able to go just because I'd need to get up and get going and get back into work. But downplayed a little bit.
I'm going to tell lawmakers around the state, no, I'm in Mobile on Tuesday. I'm not going to State House a day early. Like, well, what's going on down there? It's like a foreign country down here to them.
Well, and that's, another difference that we have on the western side of the state versus the eastern side of the state in congressional district. one or two, what is it that we just got? We redid congressional district one is so much different than the Wiregrass region. I'm not sure anybody over there in the Wiregrass region knows what's going on over here in Mobile and Fairhope and on the eastern shore.
I was setting up our segment for today with the leader. He's never been to a Mardi Gras event down here.
Really? What? Yeah. Really?
Static has never been down here for Mardi Gras. You got to fix that.
Yes, we need to fix that, leader. We'll get you down here. This is, you got to attend it at least once. Yeah, so the rest of the state really doesn't know what's going on, but the schools are let out today and
that's
tomorrow.
That's what it is. It's like, you're not doing a show on Tuesday? Because we were setting this up and he was like, hey, it'd be better if we did our segment about the softball game on Tuesday. It's like, well, we don't do shows on Tuesday on 106.5. Well, at least this one doesn't run. And he was like, why? And he was like, y'all take off for that?
I was like, nobody's listening. They're all Mardi Grawing.
They're
looking at the Comet Cowboys, or they're on their couch watching it on TV or listening to the radio, or they're hearing it. They're seeing what's going on.
Well, how's session going so far?
It's going good. I mean, it's been pretty busy, but it's a little bit more lighthearted than it was last year, I must say. So I've enjoyed it a lot more. I've been working on a wire transfer fee bill.
HB 297, right?
That's right. It's a one of those bills that about six or seven of us got together and started looking at a lot of different things that were happening that we had issues with statewide, listening to our residents regarding immigration. And so just after taking some look at it, this came up as an idea, and it's one that I liked, and so I asked to carry it. It's the wire transfer fee bill. It puts a 4% fee on any international transfers that are done by like a MoneyGram or Western Union.
Right.
And so when you're sending cash out of the country, this would affect you. It will not affect anyone that are doing a bank-to-bank transfer. if you are using PayPal, Venmo, or any of those transactions that is backed by a bank, it will not affect you. It will not affect any of the that when you're it's inside of a digital loop. That's been another question. It's been interesting to try to finagle that, but that will it will not affect you. But anybody who's sending money out of the country cash wise through like a Western Union or one of these situations I'm just recently heard about that's inside well, they're just a way to cash that's not looked over by a legitimate, like a lawful bank. So it's not a bank-to-bank transfer. That it will affect you. And if you are doing it and you pay taxes in this state, you can keep up with your receipts. You will get a credit on your taxes. So if you're you're a taxpayer in the state.
Taxpayer. So because way long ago, I worked at two grocery stores. Did a Food World and a Bruno's back when they were still a thing. And on Friday afternoon at the Food World, just line of, you know, people sending money to Mexico or Guatemala or wherever. Like that was, you know, that was the thing. So this looks to me like it's part of that package of immigration bills just to kind of make it a little harder to conduct these, you know, illegal.
Well, we're hoping that the money is, you know, the money's being sent out of here and building wealth in another country.
Right.
Every one of our folks that buy things here, sales tax, you know, you buy things for your home, we're all paying a certain percentage. And this is comparable to that. This fee is comparable. It's 4%. But I can go over who it affects again and who doesn't affect if you want to make sure it's clear.
Yeah, I mean, but you get if you do it, as long as you're paying taxes here, you get deducted from your
income tax. And what's interesting, or what I think a lot of folks are liking about this, is that some of this money, 1.5%, goes back to set up the sheriff's fund. There's a fund that will help with what the federal government's doing is taking our immigrants and sending them back, but they're really not giving us any money to kind of house these people. Or, you know, so this money, 1.5% of that would go back to help sheriffs across the state of Alabama. 2.5% of the money will go back to the area, to the county where the wire transfer originated. 2% gets spread across the city and county schools in that county by number of English language learners to help teachers and resources and get the English language learning instruction back in the classroom a little bit more, and put the money there so that the teachers can help bring those students up to the rest with the rest of the class. And then 0.5% goes to the hospitals in that county.
So this is a way to do it without making it a tax increase.
Well, it's a fee. Some people say, oh, that is a tax. And I mean, not everybody there. I've had one group that said, okay, that's just the Institute for Tax Reform. They're not too happy about it. But I mean, we're putting money back to help our communities that have the biggest burden by a migrant influx. And unfortunately, there's no other way we can get money back to them, or we haven't seen money get back to help those.
Because they're not. I mean, a lot of them are paying taxes, or they're paid under the table, and there's no deductions, right? And if you're here illegally, those who choose to use, you know, undocumented or illegal labor, whatever you want to call it, it's not like they get a paycheck with a stub. You know, a lot of times, sometimes it's just paid because they don't have social security numbers and all that you need to do the proper deductions.
Well, and I've talked to business owners on both sides of that. They said, yes, they're paying taxes. And then I've had, no, they are not paying taxes. but hopefully we'll be able to catch that and then put that money back to where the communities are, you know, having that burden. Without affecting the taxpayers in this state. And you will have to keep up your receipts like you do on any, you know, for your taxes. But you'll get that in a tax credit. So I don't know. It's a pretty cool bill, pretty exciting. We'd put a sunset on it, and that's because we don't want to be putting a fee on something that, you know, is not going to be useful in the future. So, because we may not have an issue 3 years from now. But the group, there's a legislative study group that stays with this, and then they'll be offering tweaks, or if we need to change that, they'll have their fingers or thumb on the community and kind of seeing what the needs are in their county. So that that sunset provision, it'll be in 4 years, so it'll roll off.
So we'll see how it goes. But that seems to be kind of the way we've been doing things. Let any of these tax breaks or whatever, they'll sunset, and then we could kind of evaluate later on how it's going and see if it's something that needs to be, you know, extended.
And that's how we should, right? The legislature should make sure that the money is being spent wisely. So that's the purpose of that. Yeah.
Joined by State Representative Jennifer Fiddler here. She's at the Fairhope Bureau. We're always appreciative that she comes by. What do you hear? Blue Cross Blue Shield Alpha negotiations still kind of underway with the health insurance?
Underway, yes. Blue Cross Blue Shield hosted us, the Rural Caucus, there at the Farmers Market Cafe. I think it was Wednesday morning early. And we heard a little bit about what their desires were, you know, and asked that Alpha put some things in their health plan. And a lot of it was consumer-driven, making sure that what we're hearing now, that we'll put that in legislation so that the consumers can expect that in the future. So that's, I'm not sure how Alpha, you know, views some of those requests, but we heard those requests from Blue Cross Blue Shield last week. So that's still trudging along. And we've still got the veterans bill that is out there.
Veterans bill, I mean, it's not on the calendar tomorrow. There is, now I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but from the outside looking in, it looks kind of like they're still not quite there at the House with it yet.
Yeah, what I've heard from our veterans is they felt like some of our veterans groups did not have enough time to really get the bill, give their feedback, and make sure they were vetted and make sure they were okay with it. I think that was the biggest thing. The other thing I kind of heard actually the other night on the streets when I was at MOJ parade, a veteran told me, they said, well, if we go with the idea of having a cabinet position, would we have had the veteran cemetery up to 25, which was completely member-driven. That idea was completely member-driven. No one was for that. The chairman wasn't for it, but the board was. And look how popular that is. He named off another example. But that's, I mean, that was a valid, that's a valid point.
Well, what do you think of the bill itself, the whole drama behind it? The one part of it is, like, why are we in such a hurry?
Well, that's what I've heard from our veterans is, but, you know, I talked to Representative Oliver, and he says, well, we've been working on it for 3 years. And then I talked to our veterans, and they say, well, we just really didn't know about it and didn't have enough time to put some input. So if we can slow it down and make sure all our veterans are heard, and if there's anything that we need to tweak, if y'all would take those suggestions and really consider it, then, you know, we would appreciate it. And talking to some of the Republican women, I think that's what they might have thought they were doing. I'm not sure. The ones I had talked to, they said, we just wanted to put a little bit of something in there. We thought that we didn't totally agree with the whole package. But
well, these are my words, not yours. It just looks like it's just petty and vindictive by the governor. I don't know how she hasn't really bothered to explain any of it at all. So that's what it looks like. We'll see where it goes from here. What are you hearing on, I lost my train of thought here. Anyway, it'll come back to me in a moment.
I did want to tell you that I got the local Board of Equalization bill out of the House last week. So the House did vote on that. And that's a local bill that Baldwin County that I was sponsoring, just bringing the Board of Equalization pay up. That's the group that looks at any time that you appeal your tax appraisal, which hopefully there will be no appeals in the next several years because we capped that at 7%. But
it's outrageous.
Well, everybody's went up 20 to 30% before, didn't they?
It is absolutely outrageous. Just like, did they just stop by and assign a value? And I don't know. I guess it just seems like there's no due process. It's the one part of government that works so efficiently is raising my property taxes in Baldwin County.
Well, you do have an appeal process in Baldwin County, and that is done by this 3-member board.
Who has time for that? like that's what it is. It's like, okay, here's your tax bill when you could have appealed it. Well, I mean, like, I'm a busy person. I don't have time to do this.
Raising kids. Just trying to get through day to day.
It's completely, like, unfair. It's not really a due process. It's yeah, I guess it is a name, but it doesn't – no one has the time. No one understands the process. It just sort of happens, you know?
Well, there it is on your stub. There is an appeal process, and it does talk about it. I've read it. I'm not sure you have, but I have.
Well, I'm not into legislation. I mean, I guess I should because I do this. But I like the average person out there. They get their mortgage and they just pay it. You know.
Yeah, there is an appeal process that if you don't agree, but that's the Board of Equalization, which is a 3-member board that's made up of some of our distinguished Baldwin County residents that have been here for a long time, professionals that are really taking time off of their work to do this, to look at these tax appraisals. God bless them for doing that,
but I mean, come on. They don't look at every single piece of property in Baldwin County.
No, they don't. You have your appraisal team that goes around, and they look at your property, and then they kind of assess it with the going rate, and then your property values go up, and everybody knows with inflation, everything's increased.
Let's get a quick break in here. We got Jennifer Fiddler here listening to me whine about my taxes. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Stayed up late again watching TV with my best friend, laughing at the late night show. I know I need my rest, but if I don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Hey, yes, we are beer drinkers.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. Feel free to shoot me a text, and I'll respond to whatever it is. Still, for just a few more minutes, with State Representative Jennifer Fiddler from Silver Hill here in the Fairhope Bureau. So tell me about this, the Mardi Gras,
A Coastal 150. I think you're talking about our local group over here, Coastal 150, invited all the legislators down to see Mardi Gras, experience Mardi Gras last weekend. So we drove in from session on Thursday and saw Mardi Gras Thursday night. Friday we did all the legislators came, or about 40 visitors came, and did a tour of the Baldwin Prep Academy over in Baldwin, and it was it's just phenomenal. If you haven't taken a tour, we have all the different trades that our children, our students, can go through a dual enrollment type of school, so that they can learn different trades like a teaching academy or welding or graphic art or cosmetology. So there are all these different trades, and they've been really well received by the students. So that was cool. And we, other state leaders were able to come in and see that. And so impressive that, the Baldwin Prep Academy, and really it's just a national, just leader in that. I think people from all over the nation will be able to come here and see that. And the other thing I toured, other school I toured with was the math and science. It's the math and science high school, special school over in Mobile.
Oh, the School of Math and Science.
The School of Math and Science that was set up in the 80s by our legislator here, Steve McMillan, Representative McMillan, and Senator Bedsoll. I think we're the leaders on that and sponsored that legislation. But about 300 students can come between ages of 10 through 12 if they're interested in math and science from anywhere, but they live on campus. And every one of their students have been college graduates. They go on to be a college graduate. 30-plus on their ACTs. So great results over there.
Representative, we always appreciate your time. We got to get out of here, but thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Jeff, and happy Mardi Gras.
All right. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Close your